Okay, let's take your Bible, turn to chapter 4 of James. Lacey's working away and they're sweeping crickets. We had the exterminator come to kind of help us with that. But we have a lot of, we had this last year, cricket problem, but we're going to get it solved.
This is early though.
It's early.
It's like locust.
Huh?
Or it's kind of kind of locust.
Yeah, right.
Yes, we have the blood.
Turn to James chapter 4, and I always make the statement that if you do not believe in the sovereignty of God, you will, after reading these verses, you cannot miss the point that God is in charge of our lives. By the way, some of you all know, but we mentioned, I believe, last Monday, or maybe the Monday before, but my dear friend and my led to the Lord, Bill Hill, passed away last Thursday. And his life was in God's hands. I've talked to his widow twice now, and she says he's home, and he would not have wanted anything differently, and he trusted God, and so he passed on my birthday. So I'll never forget him. And I took him to Israel, a trip to Israel. So I took a group of small group of businessmen to Israel. Took Bill and. She's sending me his obituary, and I don't even know half of all my friend did. He was probably a pioneer. In fact, I think that's what the obituary reads, that he was a pioneer in the advertising field. He was president of Bloom Advertising for a while, and a lot of the commercials you see on television for Dunlap tires, and in fact, Bill Hill made Southwestern Airlines. When Southwestern first began, they had one airplane, and they hired Bloom Advertising, and Bill was the creative art director at that time before he became president. And Southwestern took him out and said, "Look at this airplane we bought. This is a wonderful airplane. Now make us some commercials." And Bill tells the story that he went back with his staff, and they spent all night trying to figure out, let's do something different. And so they were sitting there talking, and Bill came up with, "Somebody up there loves you," because they fly out of Love Field. And that made Southwest Airlines. And so Bill was very talented, but he loved the Lord, and he believed in God's absolute sovereignty. You can't miss that in these verses. Look at verse 13 of chapter 4. "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor, a breeze, a wind, that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." Now, boy, that's tough. And look at our audience here. We're all breezes. We're passing away. "Instead," verse 15, "you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that." I cannot make proclamation. His point is not that I don't say, you know, next month I'm going to do thus and thus. But you don't say it in the sense that you are the king over your life. We say it knowing that God is in charge. And I may have an idea, I may have a conception of something I may do 2 months from now, but God is in charge. God is in charge. "Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live. If the Lord wills, I'll live. And so if I wake up tomorrow, then he willed, I live another day. And then I will do thus and thus." But notice what he says in verse 16. Now he's going to take us to task. He says, "But as it is, you boast about your self-control of your life. You boast about your self-control of your life, and your boasting is arrogance, and all such boasting is evil." There he goes again. James, you're calling us evil. Yes, he's calling Christians evil. We don't know our hearts. "And if I presume I've got my life under control, I am in charge of my own destiny." That's evil. I'm not in charge of my own destiny. God's in charge of my destiny. Therefore, now he makes a summary. Verse interesting. Verse 17 is interesting. It doesn't look like it fits, but it really does. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it's sin. You believers know that God's in charge. And if you don't do that, if you don't live like that, if you don't proclaim that, if you don't walk by that standard, then it's sin. Now, I don't know about you, but my toes are really sore tonight because James just keeps stepping and stepping on us and hitting us where we think, oh, this is not that important. Oh, this is not that big of a deal. Oh, I'm not that bad. But James just does not let us get away. He says, this is evil. That's evil. That's evil. This is wrong. And part of me wants to resist that. Part of me does not want to believe that. But it's just true. Yeah, Larry?
So, if you read this literally, it says if you overeat or you don't eat properly, you're sinning.
Sure. Anything. Anything that like that's a sin. Absolutely. Sure.
You don't mow the yard when you don't do.
Unless you get drowned doing it.
Well, Larry, you're starting to step on toes now. You're really. We have all kinds of sins, and we don't want to like to admit that they're sins. Dave?
I have a quote here from Martin Luther.
Yes?
About the book of James. He says, this James is a right Troy epistle. Troy, he says, there are enough needles in this haystack to prick the conscience of every Christian.
enough needles in this haystack. To do what? To
prick the conscience.
To prick the conscience of every Christian. There's enough needles in this haystack to prick the conscience of every believer. That's funny, and it is. I mean, you put your hand in the haystack, you're gonna get stuck with the Book of James. It's just loaded, and we you're just not gonna escape. And of course, the number one issue, well, two issues he's focused on is the mouth and pride and mouth. He's focused on here. And here, to deny his sovereignty, that he's absolutely in charge of your life, is a big deal to James. Yes?
Go back up to boasting, 16.
Verse 16?
Yeah. What are you really referring to?
I think in the context that you're boasting that you're in charge of your own life. Here's what you're going to do.
Okay. That goes on.
If you stay the context. Remember, always, I call it the chain of the argument. So he's gone from the issue of,
we're going off to this other town.
Right. And you think you're in charge of your life. Yep. And that's boasting. You're not in charge of your life. Lacey? Oh, by the way, thank you for cleaning the crickets up.
Yes.
The cricket lady.
She got two bushels.
Larry?
I've heard a term from time to time, a discerning sin or a discerning sin, a discerning sin. What does that mean?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure it's quite that, but I'm trying to think what you could have heard. I'm lost on that.
Discerning sin?
Yes, but I hear it on the radio.
I can't think.
Does that have a discerning spirit?
Some kind of sin disturbing.
Well, maybe taking off on that, there are sins of omission and sins of commission. Omission is things that I don't do that become sins. Commission is things that I do that are sins. Because there are things that we may not do that we should be doing that become sins. Sins of omission, commission. Yeah. Let's read a couple more verses and then let's stop. We've got 10 minutes. And I want more interaction from you. From what we've seen tonight. Let's read a couple of verses in chapter 5 and I'll stop. Come now, you rich. By the way, he'll come back to the rich people. There's nothing wrong with wealth. It's what people can do with it. And that's what James is really bugged about. This is about the third time he's jumped on wealthy. Again, because of what he sees. The misuse of wealth. Come now, you rich. Weep and howl for your miseries. which are come upon you. Your riches have rotted, your garments have become moth-eaten, your gold and your silver have rusted. You can't rust gold and silver. That's a hyperbole. That's an exaggeration to get the point across. And their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. Your treasure of your riches are turning against you. They've turned against you, and they'll be your judgment. Again, he's very, very concerned about the arrogance of people who have money. Not everybody. You don't have to be arrogant, but you, if you are, if you have money and you're arrogant, then James is ticked about it. Lacey? Oh, okay, sorry. All right, let's stop here and see if you have any questions, any convictions, things that we have looked at tonight. This is a heavy section, very heavy, that we've just looked at. Any thoughts? I'm convicted. I'm going to raise your hand and tell us about your convictions. Well, I've already self-confessed several times in the course, but I pray that I'm better. And the only one who can answer that in this room is Lacey. But mouth problems, you know, I'll flat tell you that, especially younger. I came up in the television business. I was raised in pioneering television, and that makes you arrogant. Television, you know, we did stories and chased fires and wrecks, and I met everybody from President Nixon on down, and it gives an arrogance. And that arrogance gives you this, I'll tell you, you know, and I had that arrogance, and mouthy, you know, I got it under control. I'm in charge. And when I finally got out of television, I spat because I saw what it did to me and what it did to other people. It makes arrogance, a lot of arrogance.
Is going to do that because school teachers get that way too. We can't help it.
Yeah.
Every now and then I forget I'm a school teacher. I can jump on the neighborhood kids.
I think you made a good point. Anything that you're in charge, if you have a job where you're in charge of something, it gives you power. It makes you feel that you're perfect.
And it may not be, but it's just
well, now the liberal media, the drive-by media that Rush calls it, they're arrogant as they can be.
Absolutely.
And they've never been challenged before.
They're audacious.
Yeah.
Because they molded the opinions of the American people for so long.
Right.
With no competition to tell you the other side.
Right, right.
Well, the audacity of getting on George Bush for getting rid of those nine people. And then how many did he get rid of the last?
The whole hundred.
And I guess what you're saying is not only a national media, but politics, just it's fired on arrogance.
Yeah.
It runs on arrogance. And
has it always been that way?
Yeah, unfortunately. No, I think it has. I think it has. If you go back and read history at the time of Abraham Lincoln and all, boy, I mean, they cut each other's gizzards out. And by the way, Larry's a lawyer. There were lawyer jokes when Abraham Lincoln was running for president. They made lawyer jokes. And they said that lawyers were sharks back in Abraham Lincoln's day. So, come on, anything else? Anybody want to confess or to self-reveal anything specific?
Well, talking about us being rich, all Americans are rich compared to the rest of the world. And I think we take it for granted that we just are.
Right.
And we act like, well, that's because we're special, and
yes.
We're not.
Yes.
And I think we need to thank God every day that we're born.
You know, Lacey gets tired of, when we're watching television, she gets, my blood pressure goes up and she wants to leave the room because I'm out there. I can't stand these commercials that says, you deserve the trip to Hawaii. Or the lawyer will get, you'll get what you deserve because you've had this car wreck, you know. What do you mean deserve, you know? I just, you're supposed to earn things. I always thought you're supposed to earn things. If you earn it, it's not deserving it. It's, you earned it. Lacey's pulling her hair. I'll tell you.
You talk to the TV and other.
I talk to the television, right.
I yell at him.
Oh, I just do.
I yell at your friend Ken Hill. I'll scream, liar, liar, liar. I'm saying so.
Yes.
Have you ever seen it?
No.
Well, it's a program where they have one where you can win all this money and answer all these questions, but you've got like 100 people up there. And you have to knock them all out. But anyway, we watched one of this last week, and so one of the questions was, which airline would you know by the name LUV? And what's the German airline?
Lufthansa.
Lufthansa. Yeah, Lufthansa. Yes. Or Northwest or Southwest. Now, for Charles said, I know that.
Right, Southwest, right,
him,
right.
Huh? Uh-huh. Southwest right. Airlines.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, someone up here loves you. Right.
They used to have a little hearts. It used to be everything.
I'm not proud of this part of what Bill came up with, but he put this, at first, the stewardesses in hot pants. And I thought that was... But also...
And I thank you many times.
But also, he did that deal where you could go on the plane and pay right there on the plane. That was Bill's idea. He said, you know, just line it up at the ticket counter, and for a long time, you just go on American Southwestern Airlines and pay right there. And Bill came up with that, but it didn't last forever, I don't think. Any other thoughts tonight? We'll close. Okay. All right. It's very convicting. But you know what makes it tough, too, is that while he's saying, you know, couch and your arrogance, it's evil, evil, evil. I don't feel that. But he's telling me, this is revelation. The revelation is telling me what I'm like. I don't like that. No, don't tell me I'm not a bad guy. You know, and James keeps saying, but you are.
And it's not, as we all know, it's not easy to do what he says.
No, it's not. That's right. It's not. But you know what's interesting is that you don't see any psychology here that, well, now, how did your mother make you do that? You know, it's black and white, it's tough, it's whoa.
We're responsible.
Responsibility lies on the book of James. It's your responsibility.
Disappointed to find out.
Right. Let's close.
Biggest part of it goes back to your mouth.
And then, he said it's set on fire from hell. That's what he said. Yeah. Well, let's close in prayer. Father, it's hard to thank you for these tough words, but it is your word. It's scripture and very revealing and convicting to us. And if we didn't have your spirit to change us and to shape us, what would we really be like? Thank you for him and for the conviction. And may we all watch what we do and what we say, because we've studied together tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I think-